Later that month, he complained that Ace's demands left him feeling like a man being sawed in half by indecisive fiends. But it's clear from following letters that the indecision was his own, as were the fiends. If they want it, I will write it. Alternatively, they could simply cross out all references to her. In the end, the disappearance of Lee's wife, like her presence, remains anomalous. Occasional references have the unsettling effect of making the reader want either more or none at all. Burroughs' indecision suggests the difficulty he had in maintaining, over time, a consistent relation to his persona, and therefore a single style of writing. At first, the chronology of his experience provided a minimal structure. You couldn't call it a plot. But this would come to pose increasing problems. In part, this was because Burroughs had a technical and temperamental difficulty with sustaining realist narrative, a conventional weakness he would later turn into an experimental advantage. Indeed, in the effort to keep it straight, he decided to cut some of the most interesting sections, which he recognized as digressions from the main narrative line. But the problem can only have become worse as he ceased writing about events set safely in the past and began having to deal with experiences from the more immediate present. Living with the trauma of a self-inflicted tragedy and unable to either write about it or to ignore its effects, Burroughs completed Junkie during increasingly difficult times, and in the last quarter of the novel, it shows. If there was a logic to excluding his fellow writers Ginsberg and Kerouac, this doesn't explain another key decision, namely, why Burroughs made his alter ego so unliterary. The passing references Lee makes to popular culture, George Raft, Jimmy Durante, Louis Armstrong, an interesting trio, contrast sharply to those he makes in Queer, the novel he wrote while still finishing Junkie, Frank Harris, and Jean Cocteau. In letters, Burroughs would sometimes call opium Cocteau's kick, referring to opium, Diary of a Cure. But such an allusion to the French writer would be completely out of place for the Lee of Junkie. In fact, there are European literary references in the prologue to Oscar Wilde, Anatole France, Baudelaire, even Gide, although they're used to distinguish the young Burroughs/Lee from an American boy of that time and place. The prologue is also the place where Burroughs speaks of being greatly impressed by an autobiography of a burglar called You Can't Win, and in many ways this is the key reference, the one that tells us most about Junkie and the particular relation it fashions between literature and life. 60 years after reading it for the first time, Burroughs took the chance to pay back the pseudonymous Jack Black by writing a foreword to the republication of You Can't Win, New York, Amok Press, 1988. Here Burroughs recalls how he was fascinated by this glimpse of an underworld of seedy rooming houses, pool parlors, cat houses and opium dens, of bullpens and cat burglars and hobo jungles. There are two things to say about this, one self-evident, the other easily missed. The first is the sheer pleasure Burroughs takes in the lingo of Jack Black's wild frontier locales, the way he savors the phrases, so clearly redolent for him of a lost world, of a nighttime netherworld glazed with a sheen of nostalgia. Burroughs, who also enjoyed the colorful urban world of Damon Runyon, had a double fascination with the criminal milieu and its vivid argo that is reflected throughout Junkie. He would have found this in You Can't Win. The underworld is quick to seize upon strange words, Black observes, and probably a little later in David Maurer's The Big Con, 1940, a classic work on the routines and slang of the confidence man in his golden age, up to the early 1920s. Maurer's rich gallery of grifters belonged to the vivid but vanishing life that lay outside the sheltered suburbs of Burroughs' Midwestern childhood, and in Junkie he brought something like it alive. Subway Mike, George the Greek, Pantapon Rose, Louis the Bellhop, Eric the Fag, and the Black Bastard. These are blood relatives of the Hash House Kid and Slobbering Bob in Maurer's book, or the Sanctimonious Kid, Smiler, and Salt Chunk Mary in Jack Black's.